Hello and welcome back. This is Jared, your host of the Attitude Series podcast. This past week, I was in Dallas, Texas, USA, and I happened to be there checking out a direct sales company. While I was there, I got a chance to also meet a lot of the staff, see the products, and I also had a couple days up my sleeve and I spent time with the son of a Southern Baptist preacher from Louisiana. Now, the guy on the podcast, he has spent over 30 years in direct sales from age 19, and this young man has moved up the ranks and is now the president of Global Health and Safety. Very exciting time to be able to speak to this man, especially for him and the business. So without further ado, I give you Mr. Chris Roberts. Hey troops, this is Jared from Attitude Coach. I'm here with Chris Roberts, who is the president of Global Health and Safety in Dallas, Texas. Hey Chris, how you doing?
Doing great, man.
Doing great, great. Yeah. One of the things is we're gonna just take a few minutes to have a chat with Chris, and I'm just gonna back it up a little bit. Why am I in Dallas, Texas? I'm in Dallas because we got one of the world's greatest direct sales businesses happening out of Dallas, which is Global Health and Safety. And over the last couple of days, I've had an opportunity to meet with the staff, the people that work here at head office, and also bring in some new recruits from Australia, which has been fantastic for them to be able to go through product presentation, and what we're doing to be able to grow the market even larger in Australia. And during the last 72 hours, I've had a very unique experience to be able to meet with the president himself. So right now, as I say this, we are sitting in the presence of greatness. Because Chris Roberts has had well over 30 years in direct sales. He's a real people person. He's done some dynamic stuff and he continues. And he's also an unlikely candidate to be the president of the company, because if you would have asked him 30 years ago, would he be here? That wasn't his ambition. So thanks again for taking a few minutes out of your day.
You bet, man.
To be able to have a chit-chat here in the podcast, man.
You bet. I'm very happy to do it.
Thanks, man. Thank you. So one of the interesting things, and we'll dive right into it, people are going to hear your accent.
Yes, they are. I have an accent?
Yeah. They're going to hear your accent. And when they hear this in Australia, it's probably going to be a different take, but it's pretty dynamic. And in order for them to understand that accent, it probably helps to go back a little bit right. As to where you're from and how right. You made your way to Texas, of all places.
You bet. Yeah. Well, I was born in Louisiana. So Louisiana has a French-Canadian background. You know, the Acadian people, they came down from the shores of Canada above New York and went all the way around and landed in New Orleans. And New Orleans is a swamp, and they ate off the land, and they fished off the land, and they hunted off the land, and they were trappers and stuff like that. So those people, Acadians, they began the state of Louisiana. So I got a little bit of accent there from where I was born. And then when I was in elementary school, my father was a minister. And he relocated from New Orleans to East Texas. And so it's just an hour across the river from Louisiana. You know, my dad used to say he had surrendered to foreign missions and left the Holy Land of Louisiana. So we had jokes about that for years. But I went over to Texas and was raised there. So I think what happens is when you're born in Louisiana, you're raised in Texas, you sound like you're from Mississippi. And that's the other state down there, you know.
Man, I love it. I love the accent because it definitely is magnetizing. It's probably one of your greatest assets, and you know that, right? Correct. As soon as you open up, people know that there's something this man's going to say, and they're just going to be all ears. So that's awesome. Now, you said your dad was a preacher, a Southern Baptist.
That's right.
Yeah. So can you share a little bit of knowledge about how that upbringing has probably affected, you know, your trajectory.
Where I'm at?
Yeah.
You bet. So my dad was a pastor of a large church, congregation of a couple of thousand people at the end of his career. And so I lived in a small town with a big church, and I was kind of always on stage, if you will. Not knowing that, but I was raised in a glass house. So everywhere I went, people knew who I was. I would be in the grocery store and they'd say, "Oh, there's Charles's boy," you know, or, "Hey, little Chris, how you doing?" And so if you're always on stage and you're always cognizant that people are watching you, it does probably affect your psyche in ways that are not normal. So maybe I'm functionally dysfunctional in that way, but I always realize that people are watching my every move, you know.
Yeah.
I think that did affect who I am and how I became who I became, you know, as a person. And then, of course, it probably helped me in the sales business, because in sales, people are watching you for feedback, and they're watching your facial expressions, and they're watching your hand gestures. And you know, if you sit back and relax, then they relax, you know.
Yep.
And so I'm always cognizant that people are watching my every move. And I'm probably doing it also as much as I'm knowing they're looking at me, I'm looking at them and reading them the same way. You know, how comfortable they are in a situation. And are they getting a little bit aggravated?
Yep.
Do I need to relax the situation? Things like that.
Chris, last couple of days it's been like that back and forth. And I know that in the last 72 hours since I've been here, I know that you've said I've you know, been eyeballing you the entire time, but I guess I'm a people person too, so I appreciate you sharing that information. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. And being a people person is about reading people. It's about trying to understand what's going on, but also having that great connection as well. Mm-hmm. So we're talking direct sales. We're talking global health and safety. You've been doing this for 30 years, so you've got some seriously intimate knowledge, but was direct sales a path that you knew you were going to take, or is it you fell into this?
I kind of fell into it. I had a friend that recruited me into the business.
Yeah.
He was so jacked up about it. He was like, "Man, this is the greatest thing in the world. You know, we get to have fun, and we get to do things like go on trips, and we get to have big conventions and do all the things we used to do in this organization called the JCs, or the Junior Chamber of Commerce, but we get paid for it." And I was like, "You're in a cult." And I need to get there to find out what it is and get you out of it. You know, I thought he was in some kind of multi-level deal.
Yeah.
And I was like, "I'm going to go get you out of that." So I went and saw a presentation, and as soon as they did the presentation, I fell in love with the product. And it was something that I told them at the end. They said, "Well, what do you think's wrong with it?" I said, "Two things." They were like, "Really? There's two things wrong with it?" I was like, "Yeah. First, it's not in my home. And second, I'm not selling it. That's the only two things I could think wrong with it." And so I fell in love with the actual product that we at Global Health and Safety procure, and that is fire safety for homeowners. And so, you know, we save lives, and that's something that I'm very passionate about. It ignited something deep in my bones way back then when I was 19 years old. And it was like, "Man, I get to feel good about what I do and make money." And maybe, you know, being the son of a minister who had served a higher power and a bigger boss than I could ever serve.
Right.
But he did it for the real reason, and he didn't get paid a lot for it, you know. And it was kind of an ironic thing. Hey, I can keep people out of fire and get paid for it when he did it for free almost, you know. And so that was kind of a cool juxtaposition, if you will.
Yeah, that's very cool. I was watching a video that obviously it was you and your dad up on stage, and this must have been at a conference that you guys had recently.
Mm-hmm.
And just the back and forth, the relationship that you share with him is pretty dynamic, obviously. Mm-hmm. Being the man of the house and how he raised you guys.
You bet.
What were some of the characteristics that you took on board that you think you developed over the years that you learned from your father as well?
Man, so much, you know. I mean, we get good and bad from our parents, and my children have gotten good and bad from me, you know.
Yeah.
And your hope is that you leave a legacy and that you make an impact that lives on after you in the things that you teach and you mentor. My dad, probably one of the biggest things I got from my dad that I strive to be, is my dad was exactly what he is in the pulpit behind closed doors.
Right.
It was no fake with my dad. He was not a charlatan. So what you saw there was what you saw at home behind closed doors. And I can attest to that because I was raised by him. And I knew he was the real deal because I saw him behind the doors of our home. I saw him out in the woods when we were hunting. I saw him in places where nobody in the world would see him but his own son. And if he was ever going to let it slip down to another level, it would have been then, and he didn't. He was just a man of integrity. Right. And so, man, I have failed dramatically in that avenue numerous times in my life, but I've always strived to make it there, you know, to try to be more like that. And that's one thing I got from him.
You are who you are when no one's watching.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing. And I think another thing that I got from him was to be fair. And that's, I think it's one of the things that people say about me. And look at that. My phone is going off.
Hey, that's what you got to do in a podcast. You
take that's my call. Wife.
You take it, Becky.
Hold
you
on
take
just a second. Hello? Hey, I'm in a podcast right now. And I'm filming right now, but you're important, so go ahead and tell me what's up. Probably did. Okay. That's all right. Bye-bye, baby. So that's funny. She said, did you ask for another pool guy to come by and give a bid on the repair of the pool today? Because a guy just called and I don't want a creepy guy coming by if he's not supposed to. I forgot to tell her.
Fair enough, man.
So anyway, back to the subject.
Yeah.
The other thing I learned from him was being fair. And fair is not always equal. But if you're a fair person and you do it over and over and over and over, and that's a value that you hold, then I think that your decision making, it proves over time to be something that people respect.
Yeah.
And obviously that's what we all want to be, is respected, you know. And so I got that from my dad. He was fair.
Nice.
He was fair.
Yeah. And it's a great value to be able to take on board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we think about direct sales and where you're at today, when I think about, first of all, getting involved in direct sales at, say, 18, 19 years old, if somebody would have said, Jared, you're going to run your own business, you're going to have a company, you're going to have multiple shops, you're actually going to live not here in America, but you're going to be in Australia, and you're going to have hundreds of people, thousands of people that you recruit, go through, be responsible for, be so passionate about a product, and this is where your life's going to head you over the next 20 years, I would have said, no, not a chance. And we were having this conversation where you thought you got into direct sales and you had no idea that one day down the track you were being interviewed every single day of your life.
That's right. That's
and
right.
You were going to be the president of that company. So my question to you is, had you known that you were destined for something like this?
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. And you're right. And it's something I tell people all the time, and I said it earlier in that meeting we were in, is we're all on an interview every day. And your problem is your promotion. And that's what people don't realize. They're faced with a problem, and they're always struggling with a problem, and they're always trying to solve a problem. And when you solve that problem, it can be what promotes you to the next level in life. And so you should embrace that problem. You should be thankful for that problem, because being faced with a problem is an opportunity to be a solver and a solution person. And when you do, that's your promotion. So it's something that I've learned over my lifetime of working, is that every day the owners of this company were watching me.
Yeah.
And every time I was sent out on a regulatory problem or a government problem or a legal problem or a sales problem or a marketing problem, or I was assigned to, you know, go speak at this place or that place or whatever, if I was traveling here and there, they were watching my every move. And I didn't realize it, but I was kind of being interviewed, just interviewed over and over.
Yeah, and I think that's great. I think that's great because everybody's being looked at. Doesn't matter who, somebody's checking you out wherever
you're
at.
You bet.
Yeah. So in terms of what's happening with global health and safety and moving forward, like even if there was a message out there for your people, taking a look at that, you've obviously experienced challenges in this business.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and every time, as you say, you know, challenges present an opportunity for us. But in terms of advice for people out there that sometimes they struggle with challenges, I mean, right. I've had my fair share of challenges. We've spoke about a few of them back and forth, sat around the campfire and shared a bit of tribal knowledge.
That's right. That's right.
But sometimes there are people out there that don't know how to work out which way to go, over, under, around. And when presented with certain challenges, you have a specific, probably a methodology that you look at. sometimes, mm-hmm. and it might have changed over the years. Mm-hmm. Would you mind sharing a little
bit about,
the
eights?
That's what I'm talking about.
No, I call them the eights of life.
Yeah.
A-T-E-S, like eight. I got eight something.
Yeah.
But it's really just a play on the words.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I would manage in the style of amputate. I wanted to amputate. I'd be like, just fire him. Right?
Yeah.
I'd be like, you know what we need to do with Jared? We just need to get rid of him. Just amputate the problem, right?
Yep.
And then as I got a little bit older, I was mentored by somebody who liked to medicate.
Right.
He liked to medicate every problem. Well, just send him a little money, send him a little inventory, you know, let's buy this off, let's do this, you know, maybe medicate, you know, the problem. There's a lot of medicating.
Yeah.
And so that was mentored by a guy that did a lot of that, and I kind of watched that. I never really dug that way, you know, but I've done my share of both, you know, amputating and medicating.
Right.
But then as I got older, I learned from another mentor, Mr. Ray Jones, who's our owner of our company, and that is marinate. And I always said, you know, I amputate, so-and-so medicates, and Ray, he marinates. And now I'm more of a marinator because I've learned to change my thought process. You know, it's not kicking can down the road. It's not, I won't make a decision. It's let's wait, let's marinate, let's let more information flow to us, because the longer you can wait, the more information comes to you. And, you know, the Bible says the truth will set you free. Well, the truth is information that's real, and as it comes to you, you make the better decision. You make a more fair decision. You make a decision of integrity. You make a decision that you can live out in public that you would live in private. And so it goes all the way back to what my dad laid out for me that I wanted to be like, and that marinating helps you to do that. So I call it the eights of life.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And you know what? I've seen a little bit of that today in action, and that's something I've taken on board. And believe me, you know, the last couple of days of hanging out here and being able to see you focus with the group that we're with, and the information that you've been able to share back and forth has been priceless. It's been great, because you know what? Maybe we've heard it before, but maybe we're hearing it under different circumstances.
And you and I, we got to enjoy something today and experience something today very few people will ever experience, or at least in my world they
would.
We had a guy, two guys that we've been dealing with today that are they're Māori, and they're from New Zealand. And now they live in Australia, and you brought them over here to meet me because they're looking for an opportunity.
Yep.
And one of the things that I just, man, this is what drives me, is I love watching our company change people's lives. That's what I really dig about being in direct sales, because people like me that don't have a college education can start out at 19 years old knocking doors, and then they can rise to whatever level of success that they determine is successful for them. And some people's success is making $1 million and having a yacht. And some people's success is, man, I got six choices of what cereal I'm going to eat in my pantry. So success is very relative, and I get that. But those guys that we met, they were so great, and we were able to spend a couple of days and help change their lives and offer them an opportunity that will change their lives.
Absolutely.
That is a vehicle they can get into, take the work ethic that they're given, the man, so to speak, and give it to themselves, be their own boss, and they can change their family's lives. They can change their grandkids' lives. And then after we did all that, it was just so special, because they came to us and they said, we don't want you to clap. We don't want you to, like, you know, hoot and holler or nothing like that. We want you to be reverent of what we're going to do, but we want you to understand that we're fixing to give you a piece of us in our Māori tribal knowledge way, and we're going to do a haka for you. And oh my God, tears ran down my face. And I was just like, it was just a powerful, see, I got the goosebumps.
Yeah,
right?
I know, I can tell right now.
So,
yeah.
And you know, sales is a transfer of emotion.
Right.
And I just did that, and you felt it, and that's what you do. But I'm not selling this, I'm just telling this.
Yeah.
And this is a story that sells. And that is the fact those guys did that haka, and it just touched my heart so much.
I was blown away.
It's like the wine. Why do I do this? Man, I did not know today when I got up and came here to this office to say goodbye to those guys. They were going to do that in the foyer of our office. And I'm like, man, they made my day, they made my week, they made my month, man, they made my year, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just a phenomenal experience. And so Changing lives is what I'm passionate about, is what our company's passionate about. Saving lives is what our product does. So you can change lives by saving lives. I mean, dude, it just don't get no better.
That's right. That's right. That's fantastic. And yeah. and to just to recap on those guys that came around and did the haka, and we've spent a lot of quality time with them. You're right. Goosebumps, the transference of feelings, everything that they gave, especially because there was other office staff here. It wasn't just us. There was a lot of people that were part of that, and we got that film too. So.
Maybe, yeah, we do got that film. Yeah. Maybe put that in there somewhere. I don't know. That's awesome.
That was dynamic. I actually did not know what to expect. I've seen the haka. I know you've seen the haka.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect, but to literally be 3 meters or less away from two guys that just got into character.
And they gave it all they had.
They did. They totally did.
Howard's eyes were crossed.
Oh, man.
He was really getting into it, you know? And he was like, and I was like, whoa. And I told you, I said, I've always watched football teams do it. Rugby teams do it. The All Blacks.
Yeah.
I've watched in America football with helmets on. They get over there on the 50-yard line and they do it, you know, to kind of intimidate the other team because it's a war dance. Yeah. And those guys just did that today out of honor and respect for what we gave them. And, you know, one of the things we gave them was the Dream Catcher. And we gave them that journal, and we gave them that app that we made here at our company, and it's free. And we gave it to them so they could use it to find their values, to find their goals, to catch their dreams. And so we gave them something, and then they gave us something. And that's what it's about.
That's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. So the company is growing.
Yes.
GHS is growing. And you took over as the president in 2011?
Yes.
Yep. And... It's had growth ever since you've taken on the new position.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of that is because of your mindset and also a lot of structure, things that have happened over the years.
Right.
But coming back to that whole thing about change and growth and, you know, the reason why it's so good, you know, look, every industry that, you know, I've been involved with where I've had a chance to speak to other people, one of the most challenging things that people can't deal with is change.
That's right.
They get comfortable comfortable.
Nobody likes change.
Nobody likes change.
It's the most happening thing going on.
Oh, man. Nobody likes it. It should be like, you got to get onto this stuff. Yeah. It's called change for a reason, and it's good. But if you could just learn to adapt and change and all that, and you've got literally hundreds of other dealers out there, organizations out there that represent the company that are selling the product, they're also doing the same thing, changing. And ultimately, what is your vision for where this is going with global health and safety?
Well, you know, we did change a lot. In 2010, our company was dying. In 2009, our company was kind of on a downward trend. And in direct sales, you have to recruit dealers. You have to be recruiting people and building people and organically growing and inorganically growing. So you have to bring on other business people, and you have to be birthing business people from within your ranks too. None of that was happening under the old administration. And so when I took over, I immediately recognized that I wasn't going to be the guy here very long, because there wasn't going to be here very long if I didn't change that. So I had a motivation to change, which was self-preservation, you know, and to live on. But there was a lot of people who had become very wealthy in our business doing it the old way, and it's hard to see the need to change when you don't know that you're, you know, on a sinking ship. And that's not something anybody's going to go, hey, let's have a conference call. By the way, company's not doing so good. You know, so you kind of spin it. It's in the spin room. So we started changing things. We started changing our marketing program. We started changing, and it was kind of failure's not an option attitude, because we knew that. And I was lucky enough to have the ownership behind me, because if you don't have that and you come in and you try to do all what we did and you get the pushback, woo! You know, there's a movie called Moneyball.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It came right at the right time, you know, with Moneyball. The Boston Red Sox owner, he goes in to see Brad Pitt's character, and he goes, when you start changing stuff, the dinosaurs go batshit crazy. And that's a great song. It's a great line. Yeah. Because it's true. And he also says, the first one through the wall gets bloody. They always get bloody. And I watched a lot of people come with me down this road and follow me down a road that I didn't even know where we were going. And they got bloody. Almost every one of us got bloody to a certain degree in their own way. We got bloody. And when you finally see the thing start turning, it's awesome. But change brings conflict every time.
Right.
And it, then if you do it right, it brings growth. You know, my dad said in that video you were talking about a while ago, he said, everybody likes change. It kind of goes jingle in their pocket,
right.
But they don't really like change. And that is true. So my vision for this company is to continue to adapt, to improvise, to overcome, as Clint Eastwood would say in the movie, right? Adapt and overcome and improvise.
Sounds like the Marines.
The Marines.
Yeah.
My goal is to do that by allowing other people in our company to lead where they're best at. You know, one of the things that I try to do with our team, our staff, is I try to say, you know, stay in your lane. You know, stay in your lane. And so, like you've noticed in the last couple of days, when there was training to be done, I gave it to my VP of sales and marketing.
That's right.
I could train that stuff. I was there when we designed it, but he's better at that.
David Carter.
Yeah, he's better. David's better at that.
We'll give him a shout out, too.
That's right. David is better at that, and I know that. He does it the same thing, same time, same way every time. He's very structured. He ran a big office in the field. He's done this marketing program as much as helped design this marketing program. So why would I get in there and muddy the water up? You know, the only reason I have to do that is maybe ego, you know, or something like that. And you got to check your ego.
Leave it at the door.
Let go of your ego.
Yeah.
So I want to do that. I want to give that lane to him. You know, it's our CFO. I told y'all in that meeting earlier. Y'all want to get along good with him because he writes the checks.
Yeah.
He holds the purse strings. Even me, I got to get along good with him. So make sure, you know, we get the money, you know. And that's his lane.
Yeah.
And then we got Gary, another vice president. Gary is a leadership mentor, you know. Gary's got decades of experience in direct sales. He was in Rainbow. Then he went on to be a vice president of Salad Master. And now he's VP of Global Expansion for us. So you got all those team players. And then when you look at that and you say, let everybody stay in their own lane and do their best thing. And then my job is to try to kind of coordinate all of those people and then do what I'm good at, you know? And sometimes it's hard to figure out what I am good at.
I was going to say, what are you good at? What are you good at, Chris?
I don't know, you know, but I like being creative. I told you that.
Yeah.
I do like being creative and being involved in the brochures and the websites and stuff like that. You know, I probably would have been more focused on that if the company would have been on the uptick when I took over, but because it wasn't and I knew we had a recruiting challenge, I became a recruiter, you know, so I'm good at that. I'm good at recruiting.
You know what, when you think about it, all of those things that you're good at recruiting, good at being creative, putting that stuff together, but you're also a connector, you're a team player, you're good at being able to get the team to work. You know, so you've got a tremendous leadership skills that obviously span back to being raised by, you know, the household that you were brought up in.
Right.
So all of that was necessary for you to be in this position that you're in right now, because there was nobody else that was probably as qualified in that position that you're in that has that whole host of skills that the current president needs to bring to the table. So was some of that a little bit of divine intervention? We've just spoken about a little.
I use that a lot.
I
believe divine intervention has played a major role in my life, and it's played a major role in the success of our product line. It's played a major role in the success of our marketing programs. I mean, there's just some things that's happened here that if it just ain't meant to be, they wouldn't have happened. And when I look at it, I just go, man, we weren't smart enough to figure that out, but it happened. And it happened, and it continues to happen. So that gives me a lot of confidence when I wake up every day to go forward, to sling more mud against the wall, knowing some of it will stick, you know? Yeah.
And good that's mud basically, you're talking
yeah,
about.
Good mud. You got to have qualified leads, not unqualified mud, you know? That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Well, let's do this. I want to bring this thing to a close, but what I'd like to do is if there was any last minute things that you could share, piece of advice for the multitude, you know, it could be direct salespeople out there. It could be any of your people.
Right.
This could be general advice that goes out anywhere. Right. It's something that you believe wholeheartedly that you'd share with anybody if you were passing by and sending them on their way.
You bet. You bet. Well, first of all, I appreciate you asking me to do this, you know, because you do have an outlet and you are an attitude coach. And I have been impressed with you, throughout the few days that I've spent with you, especially coming from where you came from, because I know your dad, and he is a, man, he is smashed through the wall, Marine Corps, isn't he?
It's tough. He's in the same room with me the last couple of days, so, you know, you don't get a word in edgewise,
yeah.
And you feel it.
So you've done a remarkable job. Of being Dean's kid, that's for sure, right?
I'm looking at the Louisville Slugger, the bat
that's broken.
Yeah,
the wall.
Yeah, I've seen a few of those in my childhood days.
I got that from the Power Team. You ever heard of those guys?
No.
They're like, I call them steroid for Jesus because they go to evangelism things and they tear phone books and they break bricks and they break bats on their legs. And they were back in the day. We had them at one of our conventions. And they kicked off the convention by breaking all this stuff and firing up the crowd. I was like, dude, I want that bat. Sign it. So they all signed it. I have no idea what their names are, but the signatures are on it. So that's
cool
great.
Piece. Cool piece of memorabilia.
A lot of memorabilia in my office from 30 years of...
That'll be the next podcast.
Serving this team, yeah. So, but I appreciate you doing this, but the thing I would tell people in the world outside of direct sales,
yeah,
or people that are wondering about, how can I have a better life? How can I do better? How can I have what I want, be what I want, do what I want? All those things is that I would say that you have to have dreams. You just got to go back to being a kid and you got to dream because the world just beats the dreams out of you. And it does. So there's got to be a plan for you to overcome that problem. And you've got to have a plan and work your plan, right? The old saying, plan your work your plan.
That's right.
Well, you've got to have a plan to get your dreams back. You got to have a plan to obtain your dreams. And they're just dreams until you write them down.
Yep.
And you come up with visualization aids. And you come up with reminders. And you come up with prayers, or you come up with affirmations that will reinforce that dream every day to you, reminding you of that. And then you have to have accountability. So all those things come into play. And that's kind of that little workbook that we put together here at Global Health and Safety.
A Dream Catcher.
It's called The Dream Catcher by GHS. And then the book, if you want a book, just you don't need the book. You can just go online. And go to the App Store in iPhone or the Google for Android, and you can Google Play Store or whatever that's called, and you can get the app, download it, and then you're going to need a password, and the password is DREAM Dream. And when you get that, it's free. It's just get it. There's nothing, no catch. When you do that dream, you put it in there. There's a workbook at the bottom. Out of the menu, and you hit the workbook, and it'll run you through the workbook, so you don't have to have the actual physical paper.
Right.
But you can do the work, and the work will help you to establish your values, help you establish your dreams again, and brainstorm and start dreaming. You know, I mean, you know, granted, you got to be realistic. I can't be an astronaut. It's too late. It's too late, right? I got two metal knees and two fake eyeballs. You know?
Well, you know, the way the space race is going, we might have something in the next 10 years where they say, you know what, you're going to be the next guy. We're going to have to throw you in there.
That's true. And here's the thing. I always say I can't be an astronaut anymore because my body's too shot. But, you know, I didn't go to college, but I bought two college degrees for two kids. So you maybe buy your way to space, right?
That's right.
One day. And that'd be your dream, to be able to pay for whenever Richard Branson gets it all figured out, or Eli, old Musk.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So the app is actually free.
It is.
It's free.
It's free, yeah.
Look at that. I didn't even expect that to happen. So mm-hmm. You've got, you know, for anybody that'll be listening.
Yeah, so I would do that for anybody outside of direct sales because I think it's just something that would help them.
Yeah,
we did it for our company because we wanted to help our people.
Yeah,
to dream and to set goals and to obtain their success, whatever it is for them, because that's what we want for them. But I think it's a good thing for anybody to use.
Fantastic, fantastic. And one thing I'd normally ask people, whether or not that, you know, if somebody ever wanted to get in contact with you because they liked what they heard, mm-hmm. how would they do that?
Man, if you really want to get in touch with us, the best way to do it is to go to homesafenetwork.com, HOMESAFE, network, NETWORK.com. Supercalifragilistic was already taken, so we have a long name, homesafenetwork.com.
Okay.
And I would just go on there and hit the contact and say, hey, I saw it on a podcast, and man, I'd like to talk to Chris Roberts, and put a phone number in there, and they'll find me, and I'll call you.